All right, guys, welcome to episode number 2 of the Full Hip Extension Podcast. My name is Colin Frazier, and I'm joined by my co-host,
Ray Cooney.
And we are here again in our Fortress of Solitude somewhere in the mountains of Colorado. And we've got an interesting podcast today coming at you. We're going to be talking about our 50-mile race, how that went, see if we were successful or not, and what success actually means in this case. So we're going to go over the open goals, whatever we can kind of get from that, and then we'll have our segment at the end, shortly at the dinner table. But I think Ray had an interesting question of the day to start us off here. If you could fight one person in history, fictional or non-fictional, who would it be and why, Mr. Ray?
So Ray Cooney, and if I could fight one historical figure, who would it be? I think I would have to fight Benjamin Franklin.
Benny Franklin, eh?
Yeah. Because he was like known as like a Renaissance man. And I think it's really, really impressive when people have like brain and brawn. So obviously.
And gout.
Yeah, right? Obviously, Benjamin Franklin, like, you know, did a lot to push society forward and push the United States forward and whatever. But I'd like to see what he has physically. Kind of test his physical abilities.
I like that. He also was struck by lightning, so I think he's pretty tough dude.
He's tough too.
I bet he'd be tough to go down with.
That was a raw time back then.
It's true. That was back in the day where if you got struck by lightning or got like lost in the woods, dude, you were dead.
You're like, you're fucked, luck, buddy. Yeah.
Like, that was it.
Yeah.
Like, what happened to Jeremy? Ah, dude, he got lost in the woods. Really? Yeah. We're not going to look for him. He got lost there. He died.
Right.
We don't want to go.
Right.
Man, Ben Franklin, that's a tough one. I was going to go fictional, and I was going to go Ivan Drago.
I met him in Whole Foods in Frisco. That was it.
You met Dolph Lundgren?
Yes.
Dude, that is awesome.
He is a beautiful man. He's old as hell,
ridiculous.
And he is still very, very attractive.
Beautiful man. Also has, I think, a PhD in something or multiple things. I think he's from Sweden or somewhere up there. It's crazy. Yeah, I would fight him. I would want to, in my fantasy, go out like Apollo Creed, just fighting with American shorts on and, you know, my old buddy there. No.
So are you already counting yourself as a loss here?
I mean, I would go out. If Apollo Creed is losing to this guy, I feel like I wouldn't stand a chance. But I'm scrappy. If it's an MMA fight, dude, going out biting, I'm kicking, I don't care.
Oh, yeah, this is a street fight.
Oh.
So, yeah. You know, you don't have to go by his boxing rules.
I don't know. He was genetically engineered, though.
He was genetically engineered.
He was the first dude that was I ever saw taking PEDs. I didn't
That's
think
true,
that
actually. That might have been my first experience with PEDs as well.
Like, oh, shit,
it was Rocky IV.
This is what happens?
Nice.
Yeah, I felt weak and intimidated at the same time. Yeah, Ivan Drago would be mine. I don't know. The Soviet Union, for some reason, holds a special place in my heart in a bad way, not in a good way.
Right. I'm glad you clarified that.
All right, so you want us to get right into it?
Yeah, let's get right into
it. The meat of it?
Yeah.
So last podcast, you guys heard us probably very foolhardily talking about a 50-mile run in Moab with very little running training. We did a lot of CrossFit. And I would say, for me at least, 90% CrossFit, 10% run training.
Oh, man, I think 10% would be generous.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah, I mean, what, probably 10 total trail runs?
Yep.
Over the course of 6 months?
Yep.
And training CrossFit 5 to 6 times a week.
So, yeah, with 1 mile runs, 800 meters, 400, right. Stuff like that. So,
but whatever was in programming.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we didn't really adjust fire to anything.
No.
You know, on the regular programming for the day to,
right.
You know, if we were running, this is what we were doing. We were just running that day. We didn't run for the 50 miler.
Yeah, I agree. It was one of those things that I think the only time I actually started to even adjust my training in any capacity was the last 2 weeks. I did a couple longer CrossFit style running exercises, and it was your idea.
The laps.
Like, yeah, like a 90-minute AMRAP of running a mile around our gym here and then doing some sort of low skill, something I liked, like a little dessert kind of piece. For me, it was GHD sit-ups or like deadlifts or something like that. I did that a couple times just to kind of feel more miles, right, more time.
Right.
But yeah, for the most part, we did almost no real run training, all CrossFit, and we showed up at Moab in the middle of the, or not in the middle of the night, but at 6 o'clock in the morning, go for a run. It was nice and cold. And, well, I mean, how do you want to say we did?
So, I mean, we ended up getting swept at mile 31 because we didn't hit an aid station in time. So they had cuts, right? They had these cutoffs that if you didn't hit certain aid stations in time, that you have to get pushed off the course. So 31 miles is not 50. So you can look at that as a loss. However, I look at it as ultimately as a win, right? So what the furthest that I had ran prior to that was, you know, roughly 12 miles or something like that when I was in the Army 8 years ago, whatever. So ultimately, I would see that as a win. Recovery-wise, a little sore that night, but then we were good to go the next day. You know, we just started training right all over again, which was kind of my biggest fear with that was going to be, you know, how would the mechanical impact of that many steps play on our body? Because that was, like, definitely something that, you know, we missed, and you can't really recreate. Like, you have to just do that shit in order to get that training.
Absolutely. You can't walk around for 6 hours.
Right. We ran the majority of it. You know, we kept a 10-minute run, 10-minute walk pace for the majority of the time. So I'd say we ran more than we walked. And although we did get swept, we weren't going to stop. We would have kept going. Correct. If they would have let us. Not that that means anything. So ultimately, I would say that was a win. And it shows, you know, just the versatility of training for GPP, general physical preparedness. But it definitely shows on what not to do, on how to train for a 50 miler if you want to be really good at it.
Great point.
However, one of our other cohorts, our athletes here at Soper's CrossFit, Andrew Gillis, I'm going to say his name because this guy just killed it. He completed it.
Crushed it
in 10 hours and 5 minutes, which is a pretty respectable time.
Very respectable, yeah.
And he did less training than we did, or less running training than we did. You know what I mean? All he did was just come to class every day.
Yeah, he did general CrossFit classes. He told us he was doing the race a week, not even maybe 5 days before the
five
race.
Days,
he was,
yeah,
like, "Hey, I'm going out there with you guys." Like, "Oh, cool." The supporters is like, "No, I'm running that race." We're like, "Wow, that's awesome." And to be frank, he's not a member that's been coming to CrossFit for 6 years. He's been coming here for maybe a year?
Probably just under that.
Yeah.
8 months or so.
8 months.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, he wasn't, again, a water polo player or a collegiate athlete. And I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus here. Just being completely honest with what type of athlete was able to complete a very extraordinary physical feat, in my opinion.
A very extraordinary physical feat. But look at that guy when he comes in here. Like, he listens to everything that the coaches say. 3, 2, 1, go. He glazes his eyes over and just gets after it. He just goes. You know what I mean?
100%.
He came in that one day for open gym. He's like, "Hey, Ray, I want to do something that really sucks." It's like, "Okay, cool. 45-minute AMRAP of burpees." And he's like, "Oh, okay, sure." And he did it. And then you were like, "You know, if you really wanted to suck, add a weight vest." And he's like, "Oh, okay." Did it. And actually did it.
We were just trying to, like, push his buttons a little bit as coaches,
right,
because he was working so hard. And sometimes, and I'm going to be a little frank here, sometimes as coaches, you want to, pardon my French, kick somebody in the dick. Like, you just kind of want to give them a little bit of,
sure,
taste of, like, "Hey, this is going to really suck, and if you really want to suck, here's what it's going to be."
Dude, there's nothing wrong with that.
Exactly.
There's nothing wrong with getting kicked in the dick.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
just, we went and did it.
Just
the Moab.
Right. Just,
yeah,
the suck factor.
Yep.
And that's exactly what we got in Moab.
Yeah.
Like, "Hey, let's just go out there and see what happens. Give it your best shot. You get kicked in the dick."
Absolutely.
And you're like, "Cool. Let's reevaluate and keep going."
Yeah. And just to kind of build on what you were talking about to begin with, I see it as a victory. I see it not, and from here's where I see the victory standpoint. CrossFit works. I went out and did something. You went out and did something. Another member and Andrew went out and did something that we do not train for, do not have any specialization in. And not only did one of us complete our task, the other ones who did run 31 miles that day out in desert gained 4,500 feet of elevation. We came back in and worked out on Monday,
you know, right,
and had a good solid workout. And today is Friday, and we just did a pretty grueling deadlift workout that I didn't have to. There used to be this old, piece of advice for marathon runners: don't run for 6 weeks after you've ran your marathon. You need to take 6 weeks off. Yeah, 6 weeks off. And we took 36 hours off.
Yeah, I don't know if that.
Yeah.
You were working out at 9 a.m. on Monday.
Right. And
I can't do the math that fast.
And it's not like I came in here and did Murph or anything like that, but we did a hero workout that hanging from the bar, which was
running
in it, which was pretty terrible. And honestly, there's so many more. I think Murph was, and I'm not taking away anything from people who run 50Ks or 50 milers, but Murph to me is a harder workout. Like, my mind hurts more in Murph than it did in those 31 miles.
Of course. Fran hurts more than that 31
it's
mile.
2 minutes.
Yeah, you know.
And so I kind of got this idea from it, and it changed my opinion about training is just train hard, like Andrew, come and work hard, and run for fun. If you like running, I kind of like a good 3 to 6 mile run every once in a while, clear your mind, go out and see the woods. Mm-hmm. But I don't need to go put 200 miles on my body every week to actually go do these. To be competitive, probably a different story. Probably need to specialize a little bit.
Right. Right. And I mean, and that's kind of our thing here at CrossFit, right? Is that we don't specialize.
Right.
Now, if you want to become highly competitive in one individual sport, like this is all I care about.
Right.
Well, then you need to specialize and supplement a little bit of training with some other stuff. Mm-hmm. But I'm with you all the way. To redo this, which we plan on running another one in the future. I'm not changing my CrossFit. I'm just going to add a couple more miles on my feet. That's it.
Same here. Yeah. I'll probably add maybe 2 to 3 days of running where I put between 3 and 10 miles on my feet in the day.
Sure. But then you can look at it at other ways too. It's like, having never ran a 50 miler before,
Ran a marathon or a half marathon.
Right. Yeah. Right. But I have no clue on how to pace it too.
Yeah.
So it's like, maybe you do it again without any training and we come out the gate a little hotter.
Right. I think so.
Right.
Yeah.
We come out the gate a little hotter. Our intervals, are longer running and less walking. There's that thing that neurological adaptation, right? If we're talking about, if somebody comes in here and they're like, teach me how to deadlift, you teach them how to deadlift. You have them find a heavy single for the day. Is that their true heavy single? Is that their true one rep max? No, it's not.
No, yeah.
Because their body has to learn how to do it, and then they'll be able to, lift to the best of their ability.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that was part of our bodies got to a spot where they didn't know what was going on anymore, or had never really been in that time domain. I'm sure you had been in that military, being in that, 6 to 8 hour time domain of moving. Maybe sometimes when I'm hiking or hunting, I'm in that time domain.
But yeah.
I think when, we could have done a little bit more of, make hay when the sun shines and when we felt good in the morning, maybe used a little bit more of our upper level capacities, and we could have probably recovered through it, honestly.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We could have. So, yeah. And, but even with something like hunting, when I'm out hunting, I've been out plenty of times out in these mountains where, it's been 12 hours of hunting when you're hiking up, down, you know what I mean? And,
slipping and crawling and all kinds of things.
But there's never any sort of God, do I need to pace this right now? How am I going to, It's just
what's my mile time right now?
Right. You just go. So maybe we could have taken a better approach to that.
I was actually surprised how fast the miles went by.
Yeah.
We were at one point in time, we just started the race, and I was like, man, I bet we've only done a mile and a half. And I looked at my GPS, and we'd done 3.5 miles, and I was like, oh, shit. And at one point in time, I was like, I bet we've only run 4 miles, and we'd done 10. And I was feeling really good early on in the race. And once we finished the half marathon point, I was like, oh, yeah, we're going to do this. It's not going to be a problem.
Absolutely.
And I think we would just, if we would have gotten there earlier, if we would have gotten there a little hotter, and we weren't so pressed on some of the time cutoffs, we would have actually done a lot better than we thought.
Right.
Yeah.
Next time. And by the way, shout out to Mad Moose Events. Mm. Those guys are outstanding.
Outstanding.
Extremely professional, but also really fun at the same time. They picked a great course. It was gorgeous. That's probably why the miles went by so fast, is because it was just beautiful the entire time. So you were focusing more on how awesome the landscape was instead of how bad it hurt. And they're really encouraging, like
100%.
You know what I mean?
Super nice.
Great group of people, Mad Moose Events. So
the whole race was pretty amazing. So they had a 30K, a 50K, and a 50-miler going on that day. And everyone was so – it was exactly what we said in the last podcast. And if you're a marathoner and you go to a powerlifting meet, no one's going to be like, who's this chump?
Right.
Everyone's going to be, hey, man, it's awesome you're here. Good job.
Right.
It's so awesome you're here. And that's exactly how I felt. We were honestly – there's maybe two or three other people who are our size. And by our size, I meant they look like they – could lift some sort of weight.
Sure.
And I think it was just so nice to have, every time we passed somebody, to have that kind of camaraderie.
Dude.
CrossFit-esque.
Right.
Good job, dude. Excellent work.
Even the top guys.
Even the top
guys. That were like 12 miles in front of us. They're like, you guys are doing great. And we're like,
what?
No.
We are doing very badly.
Right.
You're doing great.
Like, nah, man, you guys are awesome. Great job. Like, whoa. That's so cool,
it
man.
It was very cool. Big shout out to Mad Moose. So if you go to madmooseevents.com, they have tons of running events. I'm looking at their website right now. They have ultras from January 18th all the way down to June 18th in Moab and Colorado Springs and Pueblo. So there's a lot of cool stuff. If you are interested in doing an ultra in this area, then you should go ahead and check them out. Yeah, it was a ton of fun. Way too much fun for the actual amount of pain we were in.
We got time real quick to touch on nutrition for that?
Absolutely, 100%.
So
great. I like that.
I let a lot of people kind of influence me on what to do as far as like nutrition. Mm. Like I was planning on staying somewhat paleo and getting my, you know, protein, carbs and fat from good sources. But everyone's like, man, pasta, peanut butter and jelly, pizza, Snickers bars and all that.
Yeah.
And so I leaned their way because they had done that shit. And this is from like accomplished endurance athletes.
Yeah, I agree.
So it's not like they just like were just shooting from the hip. Like they had done this shit before. And I was like, all right, fuck it. We'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
I did not like that.
I 100% agree with you. Yeah.
I would love if anybody out there has any suggestions on stuff like that, or if you could even tell me why a Snickers bar would be better than a sweet potato and an apple, I would love to hear as to why that would be.
Or why is there just seems to be this connection between endurance events and total shit food.
Right. I mean, I get it. You know, you're just burning calories.
Yeah, but
right?
why just total? They're,
exactly.
Sweet potatoes and bacon have insane amount of calories in them.
Why is that not as good as Snickers, Oreos, gummy bears, and
just
that
the
fucking goo gel or whatever that crap is?
Yeah, and I agree with you. I went against my better judgment and ate some PB or peanut butter sandwiches, which were just delicious.
Yeah, it did taste
so
good.
Delicious. I accidentally had a Sprite because it was clear and I thought it was water, and it was like cocaine. I haven't had a soda in probably 10 years. And goo, I had chips. Damn. I mean, it was ridiculous.
Right.
All the food they had there, but mile 25, I had to poop in the woods, so maybe it wasn't such a good idea.
Right. Maybe it's something. Maybe the answer is something as simple as it's like a fucking mental pick me up as well.
Maybe it is.
You know what I mean? Like
no,
that Snickers bar went down pretty freaking good. You know
those
what I mean?
Peanut butter sandwiches. I almost stuffed a few in my pocket.
Right. That would have been a lot better than trying to choke down a sweet potato. So maybe it's something
true.
As simple as that.
It's true.
But I don't know.
But the guy who freaking finished in 10 hours and whatever, someone
yeah, Andrew
he was eating elk jerky and mangoes. He's like, dude, I was just crushing elk and mangoes.
Talk about just like as primitive as it gets, like just game and fruit.
Yeah,
that's all
wild game and fruit, man. Surprised he didn't find it on the way.
That guy is a stud.
Total
stud. We
should
have had him come on here.
Yeah, I agree. He'll be on one of our podcasts for sure. He is a total stud. That was incredible. And this brings me to the kind of closing point on this Moab recap is I encourage CrossFitters to go get fucked up in the desert or in the woods or on a road, like go do something that's outside your comfort zone and test. If we would have been planning to run a marathon or a 50K that day, we'd be talking about success right now and we'd probably feel better than we do. But mm-hmm. it was one of those things I really actually pushed me to want to maybe do a long bike race or a triathlon.
Ooh.
Or something totally outside
triathlon would be fun.
Outside of my comfort zone because I felt prepared. I wasn't crushed. I could coach. I could work out. I could get back to the things I love doing. It was really cool. Any last words on that?
No, I just total agreeance, right? If you're a CrossFitter out there, you think you get outside your comfort zone inside the gym by going heavier or doing a movement that you haven't done, hitting a time domain you haven't done, right? Like, in a sense that you do, well, there's another way to get outside your comfort zone in a very real way. Do something that you don't ever do. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you tell a CrossFitter they're running more than 400 meters at a time,
they'll lose their minds.
They're just like, what? Are you trying to kill me? Yeah.
Like, we don't run, bro.
No. So, yeah, do something like that. It's cool. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, though, that, again, you know, where we're at is a very special population that may apply to kind of bigger cities or flatland and, you know, flatlanders and things like that.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of our community already does stuff like that. You
they
know
do.
What I
yeah.
mean? They're outside
That's
of the
their
show.
Main bread right. and butter.
So on the flip side of that, maybe go to a powerlifting meet and compete in a powerlifting meet if you're CrossFit and you already
or
do that
strong
other stuff.
Man. Those are super
strongman.
Fun.
Yeah. Do something outside your comfort zone.
Yeah. I think it was really cool and I'm looking forward-ish to our next one. But more down our pipeline, something that we're more comfortable with, let's talk about the CrossFit Games Open.
Boom. I love it, dude. Open season.
It's open season.
You know
it's already
I mean?
Started.
What do you like better, Christmas or open season? Mr. Gray. Open season.
Open
you sandbagging
season.
Son of a bitch. Wedding crashers.
You sandbagging son of a bitch. I'm super excited about open season coming around. It always sneaks up on me. Always. September, I'm like, the open's so far away.
Right.
Mid-November, I'm like, oh, my God, it's right now. I better be way better at everything than I am at. So kind of kick things off. Something we talked about pre-podcast was it is totally all right to be amped for the open.
Absolutely. And like try.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Try really hard.
Like, you know, or I guess I've never really seen anybody who signed up for the open, get in the middle of an open workout and not try. Everybody tries. But I mean, like to sign up and commit to do it, like, oh, it's just the open. I'm not going to the games. It's just a way for CrossFit
to get
$20
more
bucks. Money. Like, no.
Absolutely
like,
not.
Like, no, it's fun.
$20 makes it real.
Right. Exactly. And it's a community event. Like, it's like everybody's in here, like, getting after it. Like, am I going to the CrossFit games? Hell to the no. But am I going to come in here and, like, just get after it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. Because, I don't know, it's fun. Like, it's like what we do.
Yeah.
Like, we train for that every day. Why not put it all out there during the open?
It's the one time a year where I really feel like you test some sort of culmination of your talents throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoy that it is annual.
Mm-hmm.
It is one of those things that you can compare yourself to a broad range of people and skills and give yourself an honest answer to, am I fit? Or am I just kind of jacking around in here?
Right.
And there's been some years where I was like, jacked around that year. And some years I was like, oh, I actually got fitter. This is
Crush
good.
It,
you know, I really, really liked it.
Don't be that kid in high school who is making fun of people for like studying for their math exam.
Yeah, dude.
Like, hey, man, you're actually studying for finals?
Dude, your homework?
Like, you did your homework, you loser.
What a piece of shit.
No, we have progressed past that point. It is okay to try and do shit.
I think that's one of the, actually, it's so funny. If I could go back and give advice to my young self, I would say, hey, try harder. It's not cool to not try.
Exactly.
I think there's a stigma sometimes. Like, yeah, but dude, I'm too cool for that. I'm too cool for the open.
Yeah.
You're not, man.
You're not.
You are not. You should go in. You should give it everything you've got. And if you totally, wheels come off, everything's bad, you poop your pants in the middle of all your friends, hey, you've learned a lesson. Next year you'll come back. Hopefully you'll be better.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've been crushed by plenty of open workouts.
Crushed.
Just humbled. You know?
Crushed.
It's okay.
And that's what I love about it. Sometimes the open workouts are so programmed in such a way that you look at them on paper, you're like, I don't know how this is going to go down.
Right.
It goes down great, and you just get obliterated.
They're great, man.
Mm-hmm.
They're great. They program for the open. I mean, each year is just, you know, once you look at all five workouts together,
yeah,
it's just outstanding.
Outstanding programming.
It's outstanding.
It's getting better every year too.
It really is.
Yeah, I think it's totally all right to get excited, and I think that you should go. And this has nothing to do. I don't get paid by CrossFit for any amount of money. I wish $20 went to our gym's pockets, but
right.
You should go out and you should spend $20. It's the same idea as if you were going to go do a fantasy football league or a rec bowling league. If you put $50 down at the end of the day, it makes it way more fun and more competitive.
Right. Or even like the 50 miler.
Yeah.
Like we could have just done 50 mile laps or, you know, around our mile course, but no, putting up some money, mm-hmm. going into an event where it's mm-hmm. like set up makes it real.
Exactly. Yeah.
So what, you know, I was actually posed the question the other day is what would be a good goal for me for the Open? So a member asked me that. And I thought it was a great question because
that's a great question.
There's a lot of different ways that you can, you know, set goals for the Open. But this is an accomplished CrossFitter. He's been CrossFitting for a while. He's hit some goals and he's kind of in that in-between point where it's like, all right, he did everything RX last year. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What would be the next goal for him?
And that's a great question. There's a lot of, I mean, I'm in that camp, you know? Mm-hmm. I've been doing CrossFit Open since the inception of the Open, and I've probably done at least 3 or 4 years of RX workouts. Mm-hmm. And where do you go from there? In terms of, for athletes, I think that a really good goal should be to push your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. Whether that is doing the CrossFit Open at a Friday Night Lights in front of everyone, doing all of your open workouts in front of people. I get in a habit of sometimes, man, the really terrible ones, the burpees and the thrusters or the burpees and the rowing or the thrusters and the rowing, you know.
Oh God, the burpee thruster workout.
Yeah. Those workouts, I tend to shy away from wanting to do them in front of people because I know everything's just going to fall apart. If I really try, and if I really, really try, you're going to see the deep, dark, like places in my soul. And it's good to let it all hang out like that. And I think if you shy away from that, you should try to, you know, push yourself into a corner a little bit. I think just in general, coming out with the intention of one and done should be some athlete's goals, especially athletes that have been doing it a little bit longer. They've done it RX. You should have this, and I think Dan Bailey said this long ago, talked about, Dan Bailey's a CrossFitter, if you don't know, not the Dallas Cowboys field goal kicker. He talked about hitting CrossFit Open workouts or hitting workouts just like a clear mind, giving it everything you got and being okay with what happened and not trying to game it. I think that should be some people's actual goals, not trying to game it.
That's pretty cool. That's cool. That's I like that. Yeah, because you can get pretty wrapped up, right? Mm-hmm. Into how you should approach the workout.
Oh yeah.
And I mean, I agree with that to some extent. Like, you know, clearly you don't want to, in a 20-minute AMRAP, just dive off the cliff right out the gate.
No.
But you don't need to dissect like every tiny,
you don't need a metronome
piece
for your burpees.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I need to be exactly 4 inches away from the bar when I do my burpee over the bar. If I'm 4.5 inches, I'm done.
Dude, I can't.
I'm done.
It's mathematically proven it's impossible.
Right. So yeah, just come in and get after it. I like that. I like to think each year I know there'll be one workout where I can really sink my teeth into and like crush.
Yeah.
So I like to go in with the goal. It's like, all right, I'm going to have a top 150 finish in at least one workout,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then, you know, that's someone like me who's been doing it for a while. And I'm going to have all the RX movements and majority of the RX weights and at least enough to put a competitive number up. So maybe somebody who might not quite be there yet, get a PR on a movement or a weight or something like that. I've seen so many first-time muscle-ups,
mm-hmm.
toe-to-bar, kipping pull-ups, weight on deadlifts, cleans, snatches happen during the Open.
Yeah.
Because it's just that little extra bit of energy that
you
get.
Yeah, those people there, yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? That it just all comes together.
I think that's great. Getting a PR in the Open, and plus, I mean, you get the added ego boost of everyone in the gym hopefully seeing you do it.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think those are two really good ideas for people to try to get some more out of the Open. Something I always try to get out of the Open is whenever a movement comes up that I'm not super good at, for me, it's usually like toes bar or muscle up, anything gymnastics. I'm built like a cannonball, so it's difficult for me to be good at those movements. I try to find some sort of virtuosity in those movements and be like, all right, you know what I'm going to improve this year is actually how I look, how I feel performing multiple reps of these, just being a better mover sometimes and not getting wrapped up in, man, I'm going to do so bad in this workout.
Right. Yeah. Nah, man, you can't go in there with that, thinking that. Go in there and crush everything. It's fun, right? It's okay to get excited and be like, I'm going to crush this.
Yeah.
Whether you do or you don't. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You just give it all. Everybody ends up like a puddle of shit. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
At the end of an open workout, like everybody gets crushed.
But that's the point, really. You're going and trying to give everything you've got. You're trying to be as competitive as you can with your fitness. But even if you're not super competitive, like let's say you're a master's athlete or you're a school teacher or something like that, you're not necessarily as competitive as the others. I think a good way to be competitive is, instead of being a score base, is just make all your movements awesome.
Right.
You know, go hard, but make all your movements as good as possible while going as hard as you can.
Right. And if you stay with good movements and you keep efficiency high, mm-hmm. right, chances are you're probably going to end up doing better anyways.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the last thing I'll say as far as goals for anybody out there, finish all of the open workouts.
Hell yeah.
Because, you know, we only get 4 days to do it. Two of the days is on a weekend. And then really we program it Friday for class WODs. Outside of that, you know what I mean? It's like, it's tough. So things come up, things happen. You need to, you know, make it a priority to get it in. If you're not feeling good, if, you know, there was a birthday party or a wedding or something, you had a little bit to drink, you ate shitty, like don't use that as an excuse to like skip it.
Yeah.
Just come in and get after it.
Yeah.
Just do it.
None of them are going to be longer than 20 minutes, period.
Right.
You know, I agree with that. That's a great goal, is to get them all done, get them all knocked out of the way.
Because I've been there. Yeah. Like, you know, in the middle of, like, finals and then, like, work and, like, you're kind of coaching and, you know, you're – as a coach, you're helping out the athletes get their in, you know, their open in.
Yep.
So it's
you're
like –
You're judging,
right? So you're just, like, constantly being pulled in a million different directions and you're – you know, as you know, we're coaches here, so your open is going to take a back seat to everybody else's open.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Our members are going to come first.
This is a shit.
So, you know, you're eventually going to be, geez, dude, I've watched people do this thruster burpee workout 75 times today. I have dinner tonight. I got a coach tomorrow morning, and we're going out of town on Sunday. Like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get this one in. No, stop.
Just
you
stop.
You got 20
it.
Minutes.
Yep.
Do it.
Just do it. Just knock it out.
I mean, you'll find somebody who can judge you. That's never going to be an issue. So,
if someone can't judge you, man, just flip on your phone, go to town, record it. There you go. Show it to your coach. We'll validate it.
Right.
Couple things before actually, I want to ask you about your open prep, but a couple things. And this is kind of a coach's pet peeve. The standards we didn't create. The standards were created by CrossFit.
Mm-hmm.
Our job is to uphold the standards.
Mm-hmm.
That is our job as coaches and stewards of what's going on in here.
Right.
Just don't do anything weird.
Right.
Just do it exactly the way they say in the video. They show you this whole huge, nicely done video now. Mm-hmm. Do it exactly that way. Mm-hmm. Even if you're out of town, and there'll be no problem with a nice video validation if you're out of town. You know, because it's during sometimes when people are going out of town.
Right.
If you do it any other way, and then you as a member complain about it, you're the one being a jerk,
right?
Not us, you know. Right. And we have to hold a standard. We can't just, oh yeah, I know you, you're a good guy. That doesn't apply.
No, the whole thing falls apart.
Yeah,
if you start picking and choosing what you're going to pay attention to, and the whole damn thing just falls apart.
Exactly.
And are you really going to be happy with that anyways?
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not 99.9% of you are not going to the CrossFit game. So just relax, redo the workout, or if you didn't have time to do it because of some weird, you learn for next year, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So the movement standards are, man, the whole standards in general are really big deal.
Very big
deal.
You
know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think it's, you know, it's pretty cool that CrossFit allows movement standards and not technique standards.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they could really be dicks about it and make it technique standards.
Absolutely. With snatching or clean and jerking and
sure.
handstand pushups, there's a lot of things you can get away with. Yeah, with pull-ups.
Like, full extension under the bar,
yeah.
chin above the bar.
Doesn't matter what happens in between.
Kip.
Yep.
Strict. Whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, they make it very doable.
Very doable, very easy to understand, mm-hmm. and just do it right the first time, and you won't have to repeat a workout or get in an argument with a coach or something like that. There's no reason to do that. But, so what are you specifically going to do to get prepared for the Open?
So, here in a couple weeks is I'm going to definitely start making Olympic lifting more of a priority. As this year, kind of focused more on powerlifting and getting all those numbers up, you know, press, bench, deadlift, squat. And I've made, you know, a fair amount of improvement in that. But I need to get back to doing some barbell cycling. And then, you know, it's not easy, but it's somewhat simple to kind of train for the Open because you know what movements are going to be there, right?
Yeah.
You know we're going to see toe-to-bar. You yep. know we're going to see pull-ups. You know we're going to see chest-to-bar pull-ups. We're going to see burpees. We're going to see thrusters.
Some Olympic lift.
We're going to see some Olympic lift. It may be heavy. It may be light.
Deadlift, box jump.
Right. We're gonna see stuff like that. So start just programming more of those and programming more workouts that require you to just keep pushing.
Yeah.
And keep moving, right? Because honestly, the majority of the Open workouts – it's about how hard you can push.
Yes.
About how long you can stay efficient. Not necessarily how much weight you can lift. Now, I know that they, you know, they have had some of the squat clean ladders and the snatch ladders and stuff like that that do eventually get to a point where it's about how much weight you can lift.
But the buy-in on those is always you have to suffer first mm-hmm. before you even get to the what I consider the fun weightlifting. And I don't, right. not that light weightlifting is not fun, but
right.
the stuff that I would put in my wheelhouse, the heavier reps, do you have to put in so much suck to get to heavier reps in the Open? I mean, right. so much.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's all doable.
Oh, right? Yeah.
So priming your engine for that, like look at, you know, the last Open workout of last year, the double under thruster workout.
Great workout.
At no point in time, you know, should I not be able to pick up a bar and do 9 thrusters
right.
at 95 pounds?
Right.
You know what I mean? I can always do that.
Yeah, that's not a capacity thing.
It's just about putting your hands on the bar and doing it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So, like, you know, definitely kind of gearing more workouts to that and kind of less strength cons and stuff like that.
I like the term strength con.
Strength con, yeah. like you know what I mean? Kind of like what we did today.
Yeah, that was right? definitely not it's an like open workout.
No,
yeah.
it's slow moving because the weight is really heavy and a lot of reps.
Yeah.
And that's good and that's fun. And, you know, so kind of make the majority of my workouts more open style workouts and while still doing some strength and Olympic lifting. So that's kind of how I prep. And I'll tell you what, after last year, is I'm going to start doing a lot of the – like class workouts
mm-hmm.
with the dumbbells.
It's a great idea.
Right. So if you take, you know, if we take 21, 18, 15, 12, 9, 6, 3 power cleans and handstand pushups, which is going to be one of our workouts next week, maybe you do those with dumbbells instead of a barbell that day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I like that a lot. And not only that, just that helps kind of shore up a lot of imbalances you may have in your body. You know, just. I know that with thrusters, for when I got those dumbbells in my hand for the first time, one arm felt way easier than the other.
Yeah.
I was like, oh man, for a long time, I guess I've just been pressing more with this one arm than I did the other.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like that. Terms for me for prepping, it's a time for me to start, and this comes at the worst time for most people, and I would say for me a little bit too, but start cleaning up the diet and start sure. trying to lean out as much as you can coming up towards the Open. Not being just totally ripped and shredded where you don't have any energy, but it tends to help to be a little bit lighter during the Open than it does to be a heavier, stronger athlete.
For sure.
You can keep your strength on, but being as lean as you can while still keeping high performance.
For athletes like us.
Yeah, for athletes like us, for sure. Right. Yeah, yeah. I think Open prep, yes, is very individual for each person, but for me, it's very similar to what you're going to do. Increasing your Metcons, increasing the workouts just really, really push you to that red line. You have to sustain that pace for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Will you repeat any previous year's Open workouts specifically? Or
Nothing specifically, but you know, we'll definitely, in class, we'll be programming a ton of previous Open workouts. That's a great way. to get ready for the Open.
I agree. Yeah.
I mean, look what we just said, right? Kind of do more open style workouts. How do you get more open style than just doing
open workouts? Yeah, no, that's a great point. Anything else? Any final thoughts on the Open coming up, coming down the pipeline?
Just get prepped, get excited. We'll try to do some fun stuff here at Soper's CrossFit. I think we'd like to do maybe some like if we can do like teams. You know what I mean?
Yeah, team orange, team blue.
Like, we get a bunch of different teams going, and like the you know, the best cumulative score at the end of all five workouts. Like,
ooh, I really like that.
Film it. Yeah. Get some like signs and stuff like that. Like, that'd be like, that'd be fun. Like, just a little added funness to the Open.
I really, really like that. Anytime you can get teams together, I'm pretty stoked, because other people can make up for how crappy I'm at the Open.
Okay.
I think that's all I've got to say about it. Yeah, get fired up, go sign up, and test your fitness. See if your gym membership's actually worth it.
Absolutely.
Sorry, and we have a dog here eating a glove.
Yep. So if one of you are planning on using gloves for the Open workouts, you might be down one, which I'm totally against gloves of any type.
I agree. Period. Get rid of your gloves.
Yep.
All right. What is on the agenda next?
Time for shirtless at the dinner table, baby.
Oh, yeah. I like shirtless at the dinner table. So if you guys don't know, this is one of our segments. We're going to discuss, I don't want to say manly things. We're just going to discuss
outlandish things.
Outlandish things. There you go. Boom. Right. I like that.
Like, that can apply to everybody that we see in the world.
Yep.
Right? Or in society. Just like outlandish stuff that needs to be addressed.
Things that need to be addressed. I agree. That's a good way. You will... It will become more clear to you what we're talking about as we get into the shirtless at the dinner table segment. But here we go.
All right. So let's start off with what you got for shirtless at the dinner table, because I love talking about stuff like that. And go ahead.
So if you're out there, and this applies to you if you live in a big city, you live in a small town. If you are a human being that can hear my words right now, you need to accustom yourself with some sort of basic bushcraft. And what I mean by that is you should learn how to start a fire without a lighter or a flint. You should just learn how to start a fire with natural materials. You should know how to build a basic outdoor shelter, and you should have some basic wilderness awareness. And I'm going to break those down a little bit here. Fire one's pretty self-explanatory. You know, go out in the woods, practice building a fire. It may be way harder than you think, but practice makes perfect. When I first started making fires, I would have died long. Like, I would have been dead immediately.
Right.
Took me forever to learn how to make a fire from scratch. But knowing how to do it, you always have this sense of, if everything goes to shit, I can at least keep myself warm and cook something. Where's my shoe?
Right. Talk about a step in evolution. Like, right? If you're listing all the things that human beings have done since the beginning of the human beings, I would imagine that fire has got to be.
It's got to be way up
there. It's got to be way up there.
It's like fire,
right?
Wheel, internet.
Right.
Like, those are the three big ones.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. And so many people, especially in the cities, I mean, we live out in the woods basically here where we live in the mountains. And I know so many people have no idea how to start a fire. Like, you can start a fire? I'm like, yes.
It's extremely embarrassing.
Right? Like, this is what separates us from monkeys, is we know how to start fire. So go figure it out. You can use the internet, the third greatest invention by humans, and Google it, or Bing it, or whatever search engine you prefer.
Right.
And it'll give you YouTube videos on it all day long. Or you can find a book. Or you can just go rub sticks together for a while and you'll figure it out. You know, be like the guy on Castaway. Be resourceful. Figure something out and start, learn how to make fires.
Right.
I think it's really, really important.
Absolutely. I mean, on top of that, outside of just like utility and just kind of doing things that you should know how, I mean, talk about impressing like a member of the opposite sex. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you go out there and you can just bam, start a fire, like, I don't know any girl that isn't impressed by something like that, or that's not like on their checklist, like, knows how to start a fire. Or if there's a bunch of dudes around, like, they don't know how to start a fire, and the chick just walks up there and just like blazes up this fire,
dude,
they are immediately like,
you were the alpha male.
You're
instantly
the alpha.
Yeah. Like, I agree. I'm pretty certain the reason my wife married me is when we went on a hiking trip, it started raining, and I'm not gonna lie, this was half luck, half skill.
Sure.
I built a fire in a small rock crevice and made us a fire to heat up some soup while it was raining. She thought that was the coolest thing she'd ever seen out of nothing but sticks and stones.
That's is like one of the coolest things out there. You know
and
what
so
I mean?
Being able to do that, A, you're going to impress the opposite sex. B, you may save your own life. Look what happened with all the hurricanes, even the fires in Northern California. I know there's fire everywhere, but if you don't have a home, it's probably a good idea to be warm. And that brings me to my next thing, being able to build a shelter.
Right.
Being able to build a basic shelter. People get caught out in the woods all the time. Well, you hear about here all the time. We had six or seven people die on a mountain that's like half a mile down the road from us. I'm not saying it's because they didn't have a shelter, but that they lack some basic field awareness, or they lack some sort of instinctual safety net to hopefully help them not just die on the woods.
Right.
And if something goes bad and you got to be out in the woods, or your house burns down, or you're lost, being able to build a fire and secondarily, like I said, that shelter, dude, it's just gonna make everything better.
Hell yes.
And then finally, I see this a lot here in the mountain hideaway. Basic wilderness awareness. Wild animals are not your friends. They do not want to be pet. Do not get close to them. They will attack you. Even big, furry ones like elk and deer. People die every year in Colorado because they want to go pet elk, and they get gored by the giant swords on their head.
Right. Which is what they are.
Yeah. Don't just like chill under a big pine tree where you can't see anything around you, whip out a big smelly steak, and then get attacked by a bear.
Right.
Just have basic wilderness awareness.
Right.
You're out in a wild domain where you break your ankle, like I said, Benjamin Franklin's time, some places no one's coming to get you, man.
Things can turn really quickly.
So fast.
Really quickly.
Yeah. It always reminds me of that when I talk about basic wilderness awareness. Not necessarily this guy's fault, but he made some really bad mistakes that led to this. Have you ever seen the movie 127 Hours?
I saw like half of it. I was
with
like
James
was,
Franco.
Yeah, I was getting like bored halfway through.
Well, I mean, he's stuck in a rock for an hour, so it's kind of like Castaway, but less pretty, movement.
I knew the ending. I chopped off his own arm. It's like, all right.
Oh, mate, the dude, I can't remember his name, Aaron Ronston or Ralston. I'm totally butchering it. Mm. Pretty amazing story. But he did some stupid things. He didn't let people know where he was going, when he was going to be back. He didn't take any sort of. It's kind of like we talked about the guy in Into the Wild. Cool movie, cool book. He did some really dumb
stupid
things.
Shit.
He would have been alive.
Right.
And there wouldn't be this crazy book about him or movie. But bring a map. Let people know where you're going. Just keep basic wilderness awareness. And you will have so much more fun, not only when you just go maybe visit the wilderness, or if you live in the wilderness, or if one day the asteroid comes and destroys all of our civilization, you'll be part of the surviving crew.
Absolutely.
That's my shirtless at the dinner table today.
I like it. Nice. Cool. So get out there and learn some bush skills.
Learn some bushcraft. Buy a book, Google it, whatever. Just learn some.
I actually have a book on my desk right now that it's like 101 bushcraft skills. It's great. Some of it's outlandish, but
some of it is ridiculous.
You know what I mean? But a lot of it's really fun.
Did you learn a lot of that in the Army?
You know, surprisingly enough, you didn't really learn a whole lot of that in the Army.
So as long as you have your gun, you're good.
Right. You have a support. You know,
yeah,
you have a support unit. So you're not really focused on too much on that. That would be more like special operations type of stuff.
Yeah.
That, you know, they could get into that situation really quick. No, we didn't really learn any of that stuff. We learned how to shoot, move, and communicate. Because we always had a support crap.
Well, and that's probably better that they're like, hey, you guys can learn how to shoot, move, and communicate.
Absolutely.
And building shelters.
Absolutely. Like, if you're not like an expert marksman, like, let's focus on becoming an expert marksman instead of learning how to make a fire, because
that's
going to come in handy probably before making a fire.
If you can't do like 10 strict pull-ups, probably focus on that before you start doing like kipping bar muscle ups.
Absolutely. Right. Cool. So my shirtless at the dinner table segment is going to talk about what's going on today, Black Friday. And I'm going to start this off, Colin. I'm going to ask you, what are your thoughts on Black Friday?
Oh, man. So just basic kind of upper, I don't know, 30,000-foot view of Black Friday. If I were an alien species and I were hovering over North America on this Friday and I saw what was happening, I'd be like, what? what is the end game? Like, what? Who is forcing these people to do this? They're buying other bits of smashed rocks that are like formed into fun, cool screen things for arbitrary amounts of money that maybe at certain points during the year they're more expensive or less expensive. It just seems so, in this day of like fast purchasing on Amazon, Amazon Prime, stuff like that, it seems so like we don't even need it anymore.
No.
There's deals all the time. When people tell me, did you see that sale? I'm like, things are always on sale. There's always deals, hot deals, sales. Right. Everything's on sale. And I saw this clip today on some news station where there was people in my home state of Texas getting in fist fights, like riot fist fights over TVs that 3 years from now will be pieces of shit.
Yeah.
And people were like, oh yeah, you know, do you have the 75-inch TV that internet connected and this? I'm like, I don't, I have a 5, 6, 7.
It stresses me out even thinking about how to try to figure out how all that would even work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like how to hook all that shit up.
It's just the more crap like that you procure, the more likely it's something's going to break.
Right.
And then it's super expensive to replace. Anyway, my whole idea on it is I don't really see a purpose for it anymore. And I think people get caught up in this whole idea of new is better all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I would much rather just completely get rid of all sales and have a just standard everyday yearly, like this is the price of this thing.
Right.
And just never have to even worry about that.
Right.
I don't know if that was succinct enough, but.
No, I mean, that was good. So I think Black Friday is absolutely disgusting. Now, again, based on our location and what people around here care about, it's not so much of an issue. But yeah, but you see like the newsreels and stuff like that on the big cities, and people are literally tearing each other apart.
Animals. Bizarre.
Here's a little insight, okay? It's junk. It's shit.
Total shit.
It is absolute crap. You don't need it.
You'll never remember it.
You absolutely. You're gonna remember fighting that person more than you'll remember the TV.
It probably took years off your life to stress out about it like
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. You're up, you know, waiting in line and like you're getting geared up, like you're in the tunnel of like, you know, the Super Bowl. Like
you're 90 seconds out from your target.
Like lift the gates, and you're like, let's do this. You know what I mean? Like, it is crap. It is absolute crap. You don't need it. All right, and it just everybody turns into like these sheep that are just getting funneled in and blinded by this crap. You know what I mean? So Black Friday is just absolutely disgusting, I think. Do not participate in it. Now, I will say, like, I have participated in a Black Friday years ago when I was visiting a buddy of mine in Michigan for Thanksgiving, and he wanted to go to the mall the next day to Black Friday. And it was Michigan in November, so like, you know, fuck it. What else are you gonna do? And
watch it snow.
So we went, and I didn't even see the point of it. You had to like spend like $500 to get like a discount.
Yeah.
It wasn't like you can go in and get like one T-shirt, you know, for $5 that day. That wasn't even the case. You had to buy in
bulk. $10,000 TV is now $7,000.
Right. You had to buy in bulk.
Yeah.
Like spend $500, get $100 off.
So ridiculous.
If you spend $499, you don't get the discount.
But again, so, people are just setting these prices. These aren't like prices that are handed to us from the gods. Like
right.
A TV costs $500.
Right.
Like
right.
No, this guy's just saying. Whenever I see somebody who's like, oh, this TV was originally $1,000, dude, I'm getting it for $350. Like, what is that telling you about how much that TV actually costs that company to make? That they just said, yeah, $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Probably cost them like $100 to make, maybe.
Right.
And they're still making $250 on you.
Right.
And at the end of the day, even when people tell me, oh, I saved $360, I'm like, no, you spent $500
on something you didn't fucking need.
Something you didn't need. And the savings are totally arbitrary. They're numbers that are told to you by somebody.
Right.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
It's total craziness.
It is. It's crazy. So I understand. You're getting your Christmas shopping done. Like you got a big family and you're strapped for cash and you might be able to save a couple dollars. You're going to buy the stuff anyways. Like, okay. You know what I mean? Like you can justify it in some way, shape or form, but just the fascination of this
stuff.
Big sale day.
Weird.
It's just, it's wrong.
It's wrong.
It's wrong. You know what? I read. I think it was on Outside magazine. Maybe it was something else, some other source. But they were like, the real Black Friday deal is that all national parks are free today.
Really?
I think so. I think, dude, I read that.
That's badass.
Like, that's where everybody should be clamoring to get into.
Right? Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's awesome. So, yeah. Black Friday, avoid that shit or just turn in your man card. If
yeah.
If you're out there right now fighting people.
For a blender. Just put your head in that blender when you get
just give up. You know what I mean?
It's so ridiculous. And you know what your family would love way more when people say, oh, I got to get them this and that. Buy them a plane ticket to come see you, or sure. Buy yourself a plane ticket to go to see them, or right. Go on a vacation with your family. I don't remember one thing my parents bought me in Christmas. Mm-hmm. I think one dog.
Right.
And I remember the vacations we went on.
Right.
I do not remember any of the bullshit they bought me that was underneath the Christmas tree that Santa Claus brought.
Crap.
Total crap.
Crap.
It all was broken. It's in some trash heap somewhere. Mm-hmm. And none of it actually added to the person I am today.
Right. Send them to bushcraft school.
Send them to bushcraft school.
Go on a vacation.
Yeah. I 100% agree. And I kind of, I had this idea before we started the podcast. What is, with everyone obsessed with procuring all this stuff or having all these things, what is the minimum amount for happiness? Like, what do you think is, and this maybe is an unanswerable question, it was kind of one of those questions I wanted to throw out there. What do you think is just the basics you need for happiness? And do you strive to try to get rid of everything else or anything else that's not attributing to that?
You know, I don't want to sound like a, douchebag, but like, I'm totally happy with everything that I have.
Yeah.
And I don't really have a lot. I mean, I'm paycheck to paycheck each month.
Yep.
Right. Well, I guess I don't have a lot, like, you know, whatever
stuff.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of vacations out there on the list that I'll probably never get to do. I'll probably never have the money for, and stuff like that. But I have the love of a beautiful woman.
Mm-hmm.
I have some pups. I have unbelievable community of friends and people. Like, if you were to sit down and think about what makes you happy, like, it's not my Nano 6 shoes.
Those gum bottoms are dope. The
gum bottoms are dope. They're super tight. And you know what I mean? If you see them on a Black Friday sale, go for it, because they're pretty sweet. But that's not making me happy.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's I don't know, the people, the community, the fact that I have people's back, people have my back, like, I don't know. That's what I have, and I'm totally happy.
Yeah.
Would I love, you know, a yacht to travel around the world? Sure.
But I bet it would not increase your happiness.
No, absolutely not. Happiness is there, an item is not going to make it appear.
Yeah.
Or I guess it's either there or it's not there. It's not, items aren't going to increase or decrease or make it appear or make it go away. It's either there or not.
Yeah. Right? I know, it's a really good point.
So to give you a straight answer, I don't know. I guess if I had to sum it up, find a tribe.
That's a great answer.
Right. Yeah. Find a community.
100% agree.
That's what's going to make you happy. Anything that takes away from that is probably going to lead in the opposite direction.
That's such a good point. Anything that takes away from that, and a lot of those things you talk about, big house, car, valet, all those things, they take away from your tribe. They're not getting you closer to people. They're getting you further and further away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have this super nice TV with all these TiVos and Netflix and Hulu, are you going to be like, I'm going to go hang out with my buds and just, you know, shoot the shit and drink some beers? Or are you like, no, I'm going to watch unlimited amounts of entertainment and just like zap away into your couch,
right?
You know, and I think that leads to ultimately being unhappy.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. It definitely leads to unhappiness.
Or doesn't? Yeah. It just doesn't lead to anything. It just is stagnant.
Right.
It's like white noise.
Right. But eventually, you know, if you're not in that community, like it could go away.
Yeah.
So if you're, instead of going and playing poker with your friends or going on a hunting trip or whatever, taking your family on vacation or just taking your dogs to the park or whatever, you're not doing things like that. You, like you said, you'd rather just binge watch The Walking Dead or something.
Yeah.
Like, that stuff might go away.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
hey, we're not going to call Cullen anymore because he
every time he's
doesn't want to do anything.
Not doing anything. Yeah. And just kind of add on that, maybe my final point on that is, for me, fitness is mandatory for happiness. For me, if I did not have fitness, if I were obese or I was not in a good spot, I would definitely be not happy. You know, I would have to get, I would have to regain my fitness or at least be on a path towards fitness for me to remain happy.
100%.
So for me, it's like, does that TV or that blender you're getting ready to buy, does that get you closer towards your tribe or your fitness goals or whatever is actually making you happy? Or is it just another thing in the way? Is it another block before you actually realize what's making you happy? You
right. know? And break away from the chain.
Yes.
Right? Break away. Because I know at first, like, man, not watching TV shit. Like, we do that as a ritual. Like every night. Like, we watch TV together. I'm with my family. It's like, and you know what I mean? Or I'm uninformed. I don't know what's going on in the world and stuff like that. Break away.
Yeah.
And I think you'll find you'll actually be happier without
For
all that
sure.
shit.
Yep. You and just get down to the things that truly make you happy. You know, the things that you can count on and be like, yeah, I'm actually happy when I'm doing this. Or I'm actually happy when my body's like this or whatever it is. I think it's everything in between that, whether it's big screen TVs or binge watching Walking Dead, is just all a hurdle for that, actually.
Right. And you said, I mean, shit, you said fitness like makes you happy. That's actually very real. Like, you work out, beta endorphins kick in.
Scientifically proven.
You know what I mean? You actually do become happier.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, you're physically able to do all those things that we just talked about. Yeah. You know what I mean? If the idea of going on vacation stresses you out because you're worried about having to carry luggage from point A to point B, maybe a little bit of fitness would help with that.
Go deadlift some bars.
Right.
Which is going to bring me to, I think that's, I really, really like that. Black Friday is total bullshit, and you should definitely just, one thing I really did like from a company was REI started this thing called Opt Outside. And so on Black Friday, they would talk about instead of being in some stupid store buying shit, be outside, do something like that. I think everyone should just practice, not necessarily being outside, but do the things on Black Friday that are total opposite of what the holiday, quote unquote, was designed to be. Go be with your family. Go on a, you know, go on a hike.
That's
go
awesome.
Work out.
That's
you know,
awesome.
Something like that. Last thing for me on shirtless at the dinner table, I'll try to keep this short. We had an athlete in here talking earlier about sporting events. This is a huge pet peeve of mine. If you're going to a sporting event, let's say you're going to watch Colorado Avalanche play the Dallas Stars, and you're wearing a freaking Philadelphia Eagles shirt because that is a sport team that you're going to another sporting event for, take that thing off and throw it away. You can only wear clothes that are of the teams that you're going to watch. And I don't care if it's the same sport. Like, you can't wear just a generic hockey shirt or jersey to a hockey game or generic football player shirt. Just be, oh, yeah, I really like Emmitt Smith. He hasn't played in years. Get over it. You know? So for me, if you're going to a game, man, woman, or child, and you don't have a shirt that is sports-oriented towards one of those teams, don't wear a sports shirt. Just wear regular clothing.
Right.
You do not need to be like, hey, dude, I like sports. Yeah, we know. Right. You're at a sporting event. Right. You don't need to prove to anyone. Or show like, yeah, I don't really like these teams. I'm just here to piss everyone off that wear this Green Bay Packers jersey right. or something. That nothing pisses me off. Well, a lot of things piss me off more than that, but that is up there.
I like it. Hell yeah.
Any closing thoughts?
No, I think I'm good. I think that was a good episode 2.
And episode numero dos.
Make sure you're following Soper's CrossFit on Instagram, Facebook, and if you have anything that you want to talk about or even come on and talk on our podcast, soperscrossfit@gmail.com. Shoot us an email and we'll answer questions or get you in here.
Absolutely. And you can find us on Stitcher or iTunes. Please give us a 5-star rating. So when you go in there, just click 5 stars. I don't even care if you like this show. Just put 5 stars in there and give us a review. If you think we should be talking about something else, if you think that we talk way too much or you just hate us and you don't want to listen to us anymore, don't care. Give us 5 stars. And we'll continue to make this great show. Here from our mountain hideout in the sunny Colorado mountaintop, my name's Colin Frazier.
I'm Ray Cooney.
And we're out!